4 CBA Mobile.
2BNG Mobile, although would rather not be.
It's not raining as bad as it was, at least not where I'm at, but maybe it'll slack off here for a while.
Not as bad as all that, but, you know, it hasn't snowed. So, I guess it's fine. It's like any other rainy, dreary, dull day.
Thermometer says 35 degrees. I didn't realize it was that cold. Oh, just went up to 36. And, gosh, it was snowing at my house this morning. It was 40 degrees.
Thermometer is 37. Although then again, as you said earlier, that doesn't stop it from snowing.
Snowed at 37. Well, it's been in the garage, so I don't know. It must be cooler. Usually it's warmer in the garage than it is outside, but anyway. Yeah, that's the first time I've seen it snow at 40. I've seen it snow at 37, but I was just amazed. And the way it was coming down, it was heavy and it was big flakes. And the only thing it sucked to was my black mulch. and it was all white, but everything else was, it didn't stick.
I see that up north quite often. Snow into the high 30s and maybe even into the 40s. It's coming down from a colder, higher level, and the heat near the ground, you know, especially like an urban terrain where you got heat trapped near the ground. So it's colder at altitude and warmer near the ground. Yeah, I've seen that quite a lot.
Remember, I didn't realize it was so cold aloft, and when we flew out to Dallas, we leveled out at 35,000 feet, and we were in a DC-9, and the pilot said, and it's a balmy 60 degrees outside, below zero. Whoa.
This was a while ago. Are they still in service?
Somebody's flying them somewhere in the world, but probably I haven't seen any of the United States or commercial airlines anyway. They've gone, you know, the A320s. Of course, they're grounded right now, but anyway, or Boeing is. Yeah, this was in 1980, February 1980, so that was a long time ago.
Contemporary of the Boeing 707, which has also been around quite a while. Let me see, there's another plane, there's one with two engines near the tail. I think that's the 727. And actually there's, that one also has a scoop above the, near the vertical stabilizer, and it's got the third engine near the tail. I think the DC-9 is a 727 without that middle engine. It looks a little bit like that.
Yes, it was a decent-sized plane. I think three seats on one side, two on the other. Or it might have been three and three. I can't remember. And, you know, in a decent-sized aisle. And had two engines, but now the DC-10 had the, a little bigger, and it had an engine in the, in the tail, up in, part of the, the tail, the stabilizer just sticks straight up, that's called.
Bigger plane. It had that engine on top that went straight through, went straight through the tail, the vertical stabilizer. The DC-9 had the two rear engines, the two engines mounted on pylons on either side in the rear of the fuselage. And I think it was the 727 where you had the, the T-shaped tail and you had the scoop near the intake near the vertical stabilizer, but the actual engine was in line with the fuselage. So that was the two engines, and the center engine was the 727. The two engines in the back without the center engine, I think, was the DC-9. Four engines on wing pylons was usually a 707, or its much, much, much larger cousin, the 747. And the two engines on wing pylons could be a 737, could be an Airbus, could be a whole lot of other configurations. Anyway, let me step out of here a minute. I got to go do some shopping.
Hey, like my daddy used to say, don't spend it all in one place. All right, I'll talk to you later. KD2BNG, KB4CBA, mobile.
KD2BNG, talk to you later. KD2BNG, clear.
CBA, intro TR.
My name is Tom. How are you doing, sir?
Being over here. Pretty good, Dave. You're a little scratchy. I don't know where you're at. I suspect over towards Pleasantburg Drive.
Right there at the old Shriners Hospital, and that spot right there, 291 and Rutherford, is really scratchy. Especially if I stop in the wrong place, I can't even key up the repeater. And then you can roll about 2 or 3 inches and have it full sliding. It's really quick. But town on Rutherford. I'm not really sure what direction it's at. Oh, I don't think I have a compass on this thing. Oh, west. There we go.
Sure. Well, I got a electronic compass in the basement that I don't use. I'll try to remember to lay that out and I'll bring it to you. It's real small, but it was a good one. You got to calibrate it, but I still got the instructions for it. It's just laying there doing nothing. If I can just remember to bring it, if you're going to be at the next meeting.
To see it, compasses have always fascinated me. And I have one on my phone, and it's amazing how accurate it is. And you can just spin around and it'll just keep right up with you, and it'll give it to you in degrees, give you the latitude, longitude. It's a pretty nice little app.
Yeah, I got one on my phone, but the trouble is you can't use it in the vehicle. Now this Tacoma don't have one, and it don't have outside air temperature, and that ticks me off, and you can't get one for it. But that I know of. But these compasses, I used to have one in each vehicle back in Kansas. I didn't leave them one night when we was going home and got turned around on a dirt road out in the country. And you know what? That was a mistake. Renice never let me live that down. But it's an LCD readout. I'll see if they still work, Dave. I don't see why they wouldn't. I usually take the batteries out of the thing if I'm going to leave them set any length of time. I just happened to see them the other day. I got a new toolbox, and I might just put one of them in the truck here. But I like them when they're built into the mirror, like the Avalon's got one. It's built into the mirror. It'd cost you a bloody fortune to do that if you put one of those mirrors on here. Go ahead.
Here's your Tacoma.
Both our vehicles are 2011s.
2011 Tacoma. It was cab and kind of a dark gray. In fact, you probably saw it at the meeting, because I used to drive it to the meeting when I had it, and but I can't remember if that thing had a compass or not. Seems like it did, but I might be wrong. It wouldn't be the first time today. And but what I was going to tell you is, cars are usually wired, and trucks, vehicles in general, are usually wired from the factory. They all get the same wiring, and some of them are just not used. I mean, it depends on the, the accessories, like, for instance, the nav system, or, of course, but you've got to know, there's got to be a module that goes along with that, so you got to know which module to pull and where it is. Used to, in the old days, you could just yank it out of an old car and stick it in yours and it would work, but I tell you, it's not that simple anymore.
Yeah, nothing new today. This is a pre-runner. Bernice found both our cars online. The Avalon come from Augusta, Georgia, and it only had 11,000 miles on it. It's got, 64, I think. This one's got 48,000, and not hardly a scratch. So I surely wouldn't trade it off my age for another truck. It does everything I want to do, and it's got the camper on it, you know, or the topper. And got a nice V6, and, well, it's just got everything except those two little items I like. But it don't have them.
It was a pre-runner, and I had the V6 automatic, and I think it had gray interior, kind of light gray to contrast the darker gray color on the outside, and I believe it was kind of metallic because it had a nice shine to it. But anyway, the only thing I didn't like was the bed. It only had a 5-foot bed, and it was for hauling. It just, especially debris like brush and stuff like that, it was pretty much useless. And I always tried to abide by the law, and I covered everything up with a tarp, and I'd have to make 4 or 5 trips to the landfill, and it was a pretty good hike from Taylor's to the nearest landfill, and so I got old in a hurry.
That's in Lake Cunningham. It's full. Well, we got a little two-wheel trailer we brought back from Kansas that my neighbor built. It's built on a Model T Ford truck frame. And we've renewed the wood on it. We need to paint it again, by the way, Bernice. And then I lined the bed of it. But it really works great. So we never haul anything other than maybe a bale of straw or something for the chickens and chicken feed, which is bagged. But when we bought it, the guy that had it, I asked him why in the world he would sell it. It just had 19,000 miles on it. And that was in 2013 when I bought it, I believe. And the only thing he ever had in it was a bale of straw, and he apologized for that because there was a few pieces of straw. I said, I'm from Kansas. I'm used to that straw. Don't worry about it. But, my God, it was like brand new. And he just had too many vehicles, and he was pretty well off. He just wanted to get rid of it, and so I made him an offer there in cash, and he took it. And happened to be the same bank as ours, the Palmetto, so that was good. He was at a different place in town, but same bank at the time that we used to go to. But in the 2011 was a little old lady, and she decided to sell it because she wanted a hybrid, and she'd only had it for 11,000 miles, so we lucked out on that, too, and it's been a joy, I'll tell you. But I don't think the bed on this one's any too long, Dave, because it's quad cab.
They put a 6-foot bed on the quad or not? I can't remember. I don't know all those specs on this truck. I never did get that deep into it, but yeah, it was funny because I bought an extended warranty with that thing because it was just out of the factory warranty, and. Well, no, it was well out of factory warranty by years, not by miles. But anyway, didn't have that many miles on it, but they get about miles and years, whichever comes first. And I bought it on a weekend, like Friday or something, and Tuesday, the airbag light came on. I thought to myself, the nice thing about that, I know they weren't trying to rip me off or I'd bought a dud or something, because airbag lights, once they set, you can't turn them off. You can't go in with a code reader and clear it like you can some codes. The only way you can clear airbag code is fix the problem and start the car up, and it'll clear itself if the problem's been repaired. So I knew, you know, I hadn't bought a vehicle that's going to be trouble. And sure enough, it was the clock spring and the steering wheel. So, but they paid. I had a little deductible, and then they paid for the rest of it with the extended warranty.
Looked out there. Well, I don't think there's any warranty left on either one of these, is there, Mom? But, I'll tell you, I don't worry about a whole lot on these Toyotas, because I've never had any bad luck with them yet. Knock on wood. We're at home, and need to get out and get unloaded here. We stopped at Aldi's and got some groceries. Good to hear you. You have a good day, my friend, and I'll talk to you later. KB4CBA and Gerald TR.
Bernice, I noticed that he included your name in the paint job there on the trailer, so I didn't miss that. All right, well, y'all have a good evening, and I will talk to you later. N0TRKB4CBA Mobile.